Oh,
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 oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
I did, when my throw hurt one
time. Here we go. Caleb, Caleb's going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling. Go ahead, Caleb.
Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. Lord, I just pray that you use what's in here to be to further your ministry. Lord, I just pray that you just keep us safe as we go through our week. Lord, keep us safe in the world, Lord, and with all our unsafe friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 488. We'll do that one that one either Drake or Alex is singing here. I will sing to my Redeemer. 488. We're still out there. Hold on. Here we go. All right. Verse 1. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered. From the curse set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his love he purchased me.
On the cross
he sealed my pardon.
Jesus, 483. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine. They're the sweetest, sweetest name on earth. Here we go. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word.
It sounds like music in mine.
The sweetest
name on earth. First love me, it tells me what. first.
All right, last one, 477 at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Hope we were not in those years anymore. Verse 1, here we go.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. For mercy there was great and grace was free.
My pardon
there was multiplied to me.
There my burden so found liberty.
Where?
At Calvary.
By
pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Now I
help us, Lord,
Jesus
everything, and
now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary.
God's mercy there was great and grace was free. My pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burden so
fell in
mercy
at Calvary. And oh, the love that drew salvation's plan.
God, he brought it down to
the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Go ahead and sit down, guys. So last week, I talked about, are you doing what's written or are you doing what's right? Are you doing what's written versus what's right? And the two characters in the Bible we looked at were the rich young ruler and the apostle Paul. So we saw that, yeah, the rich young ruler, this guy had an awesome spiritual resume. The Bible says he kept all the commandments since his youth. All right, that was saying a lot, man. There's some tough things. So we know about the Ten Commandments that are super popular. The Jews had over 600 of them that they're supposed to stay up on. 600 of them, all right? So this guy had done this stuff since his youth. I kind of made the joke about he had been in Awanas. He had been in Bible Explorers. He had been memorizing Scripture. He gave his first devotion at 6. He led his first person to the Lord at 4 or something like that. This guy was, you know, Mr. Spiritual. He had all the badges for church, you know, been around the block, had a t-shirt to prove it and everything like that. The problem was this. He was totally okay with doing everything that was written. What was written for us was the Bible. You grow up in Old Paths, you grow up in a Christian family, you know what the book tells you to do. You know what is acceptable about, around Christian people, around church people, right? You know what the written laws are that we all agree to. But the question that came up was, are you only doing what's written? Are you only about doing what the Bible says? What? So that sounds crazy. Like, yeah, I'm about doing what the Bible says. But watch this. Only the Bible that your friends accept. The Bible that's accepted amongst the Christian circles. The Bible where it's just obvious, like we don't steal, we don't kill, that type of stuff like that. Or are you also about doing what's right? Because what happened with him, he followed all the commandments since his youth, but Jesus brought up something that wasn't a commandment. He said, Batman, now go and sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to do that. But it was the right thing to do to follow Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we are okay with doing what's accepted amongst the Christian crowd, but when Jesus Christ convicts us personally and gives us something personal to do, we say, well, hold on, that's a little bit too far. You know why it was? He wanted what Jesus Christ had. He wanted that spiritual badge. If I'm Mr. Spiritual, I know I do Alanis. I know I can memorize scripture. I show up at church. I've got the attendance record. But in his personal life, he had no relationship with Jesus Christ. And the whole question I want to bring up to you guys is, who are you following? What are you even doing? Why are you here? Are you here because of what you're trying to get with Jesus Christ, or because you're expected to be here? Because your reputation up to this point is that you're a good Christian kid, so you have to be at church on Thursday and Sundays because that's what's expected of me. And if I mess up my brand, then that messes up, you know, how people see me, and I've built that thing up for so long now. Why are you here? Is it to get Jesus Christ? Or is it to do what's written and get a name amongst men? On that vein, I got three things I want you guys to think about that go right along with that. Three, what are you doing? All right? And why are you doing them? Number one, why are you praying? Okay? Are you saying prayers? Are you giving the blessing? Or are you talking to God? There's a big difference. I don't know why I've heard this all my life, and I've said it myself. I've told my kids this, hey, you know what, we're gonna say it, we're gonna say our prayers, we're gonna thank God before we eat, type of deal. Say your prayers before you eat. You know, how many of you guys have had prayers as kids that you had? You know what? God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Buy us simply all our bed. Give us, Lord, our daily. It's almost like a rap. You know, start going like the hustle or something like that, all right? You just get into that rhythm, right? You just go with it. Or before bed. Now I'll lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul will keep it. Watch it out. You know, just like stuff like that. We're like a Baptist.
There is some
that. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff like that. So we got these things, these routines that we get into. But are we talking to God or are we just praying? So when we go over other people's houses and stuff like that, they're like, would you guys like to say the blessing? You know, and so it's like, what do you mean say the blessing? Are we talking to God or are we just saying a routine thing? Are we just saying the blessing? This goes right back into that whole rich young ruler mindset. Like, guys, you've been around church. This stuff is not new to you, but ask yourself this. When I close my eyes, do I slow down enough to realize what I'm doing? Do I slow down enough to realize that I'm no longer talking to people on my level? I'm no longer doing something that's natural. I'm trying to step into the supernatural. I'm trying to step into the throne room of God and talk to the one that can stop my heart right now and put me in eternity. I'm talking to the same one that kept Moses, one of the greatest men of God, out of the promised land just because he smote a rock instead of speaking to it. I'm talking to someone righteous, to someone holy, to someone awesome, to someone beyond anything I've ever come up to. I guarantee you all have somebody in your mind right now who, if you met them or if they walk into this room right now, it will make you blush. Because you are so impressed with them. You like them so much. It could be a celebrity. It could be a girl. Maybe Ethan was smiling about that. All right. I don't know what it is. But there's someone in your life who you're thinking, man, like, I feel comfortable. I feel cool right now. But if they were to cross my path, dude, I would be starstruck. I would be nervous or something like that. Something would happen to me that would make me out of sorts with myself. But we lay down and we fall asleep mumbling to God. Right? So that's why I'm asking us, what are we even doing? Do we realize who we're talking to? When you quote-unquote pray, are you talking to God or are you just saying prayers? All right, so that's number one. Number two, when you read the Bible, are you reading the Bible? Are you getting into the Word? Or are you listening to God talk to you? Am I praying or am I talking to God? Am I reading the Bible? Or am I just listening, or am I listening to God talk to me? How many of us just read the Bible, open it up, and we got to get through because our parents told us to get through a chapter a day or something like that, or at least I want to feel spiritual, and I'm going to feel guilty if I don't open up my book and read it? Or how much times do we like actually open it up and think, this is God speaking, and we hear God's voice, and we start going like, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. This is like what God is saying to you, literally. He wanted you to have that. That has to do with talking to God first, though. Lord, I'm not just praying to you. Lord, I'm conversing with you right now. I'm not talking to any other human being. I believe you're more real than my wife, than my kids. And I'm getting ready to open up your book, and I need you to talk to me. The attitude by which you approach your spiritual duties, prayer, reading the Bible, the ministry, the attitude by which you approach that will determine the results you get from it. It's really that simple. God doesn't play favorites based off of our looks. He's not a respecter of person based off of our wealth. He doesn't care about that stuff. The Bible says the rich and the poor both need to get together. The Lord's the maker of them all. What determines what God does with you is the priority you put on him. How you approach him. That's all it is. When you read the Bible, are you reading the Bible, or is God talking to you? All right, that one's pretty quick. Last one. The last one I think is probably the most important because it would determine your duration in the ministry, honestly. All right? The last one is simply this. Are you trying to do what's right in life, or are you trying to maintain fellowship with God? Are you trying to do what's right, or are you trying to maintain fellowship? You see, doing what's right, just like spiritual works and stuff like that, that will get old pretty quick. You'll be able to put on a show and a performance for people for so long, and then after a while, your flesh is going to take over. Okay, it's not going to allow you to do that. Because you're staying who you are, but you're putting the ornaments on it. You're staying dirty, filthy, and rotten, but you're constantly spraying perfume on yourself. How many of you guys ever been in those locker rooms at school after everyone's been outside sweating and getting all funky and stuff like that, and instead of going into like the sink or applying some soap and water, all they do is spray like chocolate Axe or something like that? Or something.
No.
All right.
I don't think
Fabrice
has touched
locker
room.
No, girls did it too in
middle
school.
Oh, dude, middle school is like because you experiment with all that stuff and trying to figure it out.
Like the most potent perfumes, they just
douse. Locker rooms just never met Febreze.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like you cannot take something that smells good and that looks good and that sounds good and put that on something that's funky. It doesn't help it. It creates this brand new abomination that no one can tolerate. All right, that's what you do. You create a monster when you do something like that, and that's exactly what religion is. It's a monster. It's someone that is still filthy, someone that's still wicked, someone that's still God forsaken, but then they start putting good works that Christians are supposed to be doing on top of that stuff. And they create this stench to God. They create a stench to the world because the world looks at it and says, oh, that's all I have to do, bet. And they die and go to hell forever. Imagine how funky that's going to be when they're burning in the lake of fire. They're like, oh my gosh, you actually attracted me for a second to this nonsense. And here I am burning forever now because of it. Stinks, man. I like this analogy. When Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to change our diapers. All right, that's man, humanity. We pooped. We screwed up. All right, we got dirty. So what does religion do? Religion says, here's a new diaper. Let me change you up. But then you poop again. Here's another diaper. Let me change you. You keep pooping. All right, but this is what Jesus Christ did. He made a new baby, right? What did he say to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what has to happen. You can't just be the same old person adding up, powder and cologne and perfume on top of your stench. At some point in time, you got to become a new baby. And so that's what I'm talking about. Are you just trying to do what's right, or are you trying to maintain fellowship with God? Well, Zach, what's the difference, and how do I do it? Doing what's right is just copying people's good works. And eventually that's going to get old. Maintaining fellowship with God is becoming something new. Doing good things will get old real soon. Becoming something new is a process that will continue until the day you die. Are you becoming who Jesus Christ wants you to become? Or are you just copying off of other Christians around you, trying to do the stuff that they're doing? It's like a different flavor. Like, one month this preacher's going to be your boy. The next month this Christian's going to be your boy. The next month this book is going to be the person that you... That's all Christians do nowadays. They get on these spiritual flings, these spiritual highs. A new Christian book comes out. That's what they're all about. A new Christian psychologist that can stand up to atheists and combat them really well. That's what they're all about. Until a scandal shows up, and then they can't follow that guy anymore. Or this new Christian movie came out and it changes their life. They got a new perspective on everything. So that's how we operate. Just doing these good works, copying off of other Christians. Jesus Christ says, you are unique. I built you a certain way. You are a special tool that I've got to do a special job. Start becoming who I need you to become. That's what that's all about. But that comes back to that whole concept of the rich young ruler. Are we about just adding spiritual stuff to our lives so that we stay in good fellowship with our parents, with our friends, with our Christian family and stuff like that? Or are we all about getting Jesus Christ no matter the cost? Lord, you tell me. I mean, my whole life is nothing more than just trying to get you. You see, when he's your goal, there's no price too high to get him. But that was the problem with the rich young ruler. Jesus Christ said, wow, man, you have been doing awesome. You've got a great church record, great attendance. How about this? Go sell all that stuff you have and then come and follow me. But he couldn't do that because all that stuff was who he was. So Jesus Christ is like, listen, don't worry about that. I'll take care of you. Your identity will no longer be you. You'll have an identity in me. You'll be in complete in me. Complete in me, right? He said, oh, my God, but I can't, Lord. I've got status. I'm a ruler. I've got money. I'm rich. I've got my health and my strength. I'm young. You want me to toss all that stuff just to be under your shadow? That's right. That's the same thing. He's come to each one of you kids right now, today, to us adults. He asks us that every day. Zach, are you going to do just what's convenient to give you a name at Old Path Baptist Church, to give you a name amongst Christians, so that you look more spiritually liberated than people at your job? Or are you going to lose yourself in who I want you to be? That's the question. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? All right, think about those things. Bow your heads, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I know that was a quick little lesson tonight, but hopefully I'll get out the way and you'll continue to work on their hearts, Lord, with whatever you did with them tonight. We just love you and thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we have just to be able to get together and meet and talk about these things. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help the kids that take that to heart and use it for your honor and glory. Help us not to try to impress one another. Like you said, comparing themselves amongst themselves, they're not wise. Lord, but help us to do like you told us, to be transformed. Be transformed. Become something new for you, Lord, by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So Lord, I pray that right now over these kids, just cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we did a little reconnaissance while I was talking. It sounds like we do have enough supply. So if you guys want to leave your stuff up here, that's fine. We're going to turn off Ethan or Jordan, turn it off. We're going to go downstairs, grab some ice cream, then we'll go outside. So we can play something or we can just chill out.
Yeah, ice cream.
So there's, I think, there's, what's the other gin? You said there's ice cream sandwiches.
Like a cone, drumsticks.
Yeah. Like the drumstick box, basically. Yep.
Okay. Star bar, which is like vanilla with hardened chocolate around it.
Oh, that sounds good.
And 3 Snickers bars for the fastest ones. No,
all right,
kidding.
So yeah. So, plenty down there. Grab something. We'll go outside. We'll either meet in that grassy area or like on those steps or something like that. Just hang out.
Grassy,
so,
no.
We don't, but do we even have like a...
It's
too small to do like football.
It's a nice view right here.
It is a nice view right here.
I got one in my trunk.
Yeah, grab that out.
I feel wrong.